Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Folks, we're moving on. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, streaming live here. Where? DrewMarshall.ca is where we're streaming live. And on a real radio station in Toronto. 1250 on the dial. I watched a doc last night that I was absolutely thrilled to watch. And I was exhausted when I started this thing. I had to go to the airport at about 2 in the morning, and I had to wait. And so, anyway, I thought, oh, sometimes, you know, you watch a doc and you just put you to sleep. But not this one.
No.
Not this one. A provocative social experiment turned documentary, Kumari, follows American filmmaker Vikram Gandhi as he transforms himself into a wise Indian guru, hoping to prove the absurdity of blind faith. Instead, though, he finds himself forging profound connections with people from all walks of life and wondering if and when to reveal his true self. Will his followers accept his final teaching? Can this illusion reveal a greater spiritual truth? Folks, winner of South by Southwest's Audience Award, Kumari, is an insightful look at faith and belief. KumariMovie.com. That's K-U-M-A-R-E, KumariMovie.com. And joining us is the man himself. It's Sri Kumari, the Borat of yoga, if you will. Vikram, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Are you, let's see, how are we going to start this interview? Are you a jerk?
I prefer not to answer that question.
You know, that's the tension of watching this documentary is like, how are those who are worshiping you or following you or abiding in your truths, how are they going to respond when you reveal the real you? And that is the crux of this whole film. And it just, you sucked me into this thing, and then at the end of it, I thought, man, I wonder what kind of a guy this is off camera, you know, just kind of, you know, is he just your average Joe? Is he sort of caustic like Bill Maher? Is he cynical? Let's go to this question. What are your own personal beliefs? Do you talk about that?
Well, I think in reference to this question, I think it's important that it shouldn't matter. I mean, doesn't matter if I am a jerk or not, right? The point of what we were making in this film was exactly that it shouldn't matter. That if one thinks that by watching a film that or in the case of gurus, that you might get some wisdom out of somebody,
right.
And the point is that you should take the message and not be kind of obsessed with who the person is giving it.
Excellent point.
I don't know. I guess you'll never know, really, if I'm a jerk.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. I mean, your background, you did study religion in university, correct, or college or whatever?
Yeah, I studied in college, yeah.
Okay, all right. And do you have a problem yourself with God, with religion, with spirituality, with religious leaders?
No, I mean, I don't have a problem with God, because I don't have a problem with that idea. I like that idea. I think God is human beings, most optimistic idea. I think it's a cool concept. Religious leaders, I just think that we're constantly confronted with hypocrisy. And when hypocrisy goes unnoticed and nobody says anything, it makes certain people annoyed and upset. And I felt like I was, because of my upbringing and my place, coming to being a kid in America, Indian American, being surrounded by a certain world and watching society around me embrace something that I felt like I had seen a lot growing up, hypocrisy was far more clear to me, I felt, than a lot of other people. And it was a very obvious hypocrisy going on around me. So it forced me to have questions and want to make a piece of art, a film that would confront those issues. And that's kind of what this is. And I think it could have been about another subject. This happened to be a subject that's, you know, close to me,
yeah.
which is, you know, spirituality, being that I just grew up around, you know, a community and a family that was interested in all these things.
See, personally, I have a problem with religion. I, as a matter of fact, as a redirect, that'll eventually take you to my site, is a domain called tohellwithreligion.com. And I think religion gets in the way of some good God stuff. And religious leaders, we were just talking about some of them today that have built their congregation out of $9 million in an apparent Ponzi scheme. You know, this is the hypocrisy stuff that drives us all insane. Now, I think we all need to recognize there's hypocrisy in all of us. But anyway, listen, I want to get on to some other stuff. There's so many. Honestly, I have so many questions for you. So you're making up chants. You're making up nonsense rituals, yoga moves. Was it easy to come up with this kind of craziness? Or did it how long did you spend over with the gurus? How long were you overseas for?
I've been in India my whole life. I've been there. You know, almost, maybe not every year, but every few years. The first time I went to India and experienced what I consider, you know, a more real India was when I was 17 and I went by myself to India and traveled through the north and went to spiritual places, random villages. And so I've been there off and on. Some of the footage that's in the movie is from previous trips. It's just been my whole adult life going back and forth there. So there isn't one specific time that I just spent.
Right. Can you explain to me the naked scene, or the almost naked scene, where you're walking through the streets with your Depends wound up nice and tight?
Yeah, that's called a Lunguti. It's a kind of an Indian thong. It's just basically two pieces of cloth and made into sort of a hammock. I was at an event called the Kumbh Mela, and the Kumbh Mela just recently happened again. This past time, it was the Maha Kumbh Mela. So this Mela, which is a festival, is basically, in ancient mythology, there are four cities in India. And in those cities in India, where a nectar has been dropped, a divine nectar, and those four places are pilgrimage sites. So every 3 years in a different city, in these four cities it rotates, they have something called the Kumbh Mela. And the Kumbh Mela is the biggest gathering of humans on Earth. And it is an event that happens in India and brings together spiritual leaders of all kinds, religious leaders of all different elements. And the group of people that I was staying with when I was shooting the movie, and the closest kind of visual to who Kumari, my character, is, were Shaivite sadhus, ascetic monks who worship Shiva. Those men are sort of, in some ways, some of the most hardcore. They do a lot of austerities and tapas that you'll see the guy who holds his arm up for 10 years, the person who's never sat down, the guys who don't talk, and also men who lift things with their penises and things like that. So I was camped out with them, and they kind of lead the way into the royal bath. So the time that I was in the crowd of naked men is right before this ritualistic great royal bath that was going to happen. And so I sort of slipped in with them, with a crew of those guys, and kind of experienced whatever it would be to be with them. And then basically what happened is they all went to run and go into the bath. My cameraman was stuck on, in a building shooting down into the crowd, and it was just it's a jam-packed place. So everyone ran. I stayed behind because, I couldn't capture it. And then I just started walking down the street to catch up. We're all covered in ash, by the way, as well. So I'm walking down the street in this thong, and somebody comes over and starts touching my feet. And another couple comes over and touches my feet. And I looked at the cameraman. I'm like, let's just keep rolling. And then I just kind of walked around like I was from, a divine place and had just been dropped down to earth, and I started blessing people and giving people what other gurus would call Shakti Pat, but I was just kind of touching my head to theirs and, making it up.
Vikram, do you think that the cameras being with you had an impact on others accepting who you said you were?
I think in that scene in India, no, because I don't think there was too much going on.
Yeah, but in North America.
In when we shot the majority of the movie, I think it legitimized the character, and not just the cameras, but also that I had a team of people who said, this man is legitimate, and we think he's, you know, we think that he has something to share. And so, yeah, I think that made, I don't think it necessarily made it easier, it just made it different.
Yeah, no, I get people, that.
People had to, you know, sign a release to say they were going to be in a movie, and that we were really clear that we were making a movie, and that was the only reason we were in Arizona. So that, of course, made some people not come. And then I think there are other people who were fine with it, and other people just thought maybe it was legitimizing. So it had a different, I mean, the filmmaking process had an effect, but it's hard to tell exactly, you know, what would have been if it wasn't.
Yeah. Vikram, did you ever break character?
I don't think I broke character. I sometimes would accidentally go into a Jamaican patois when I said kind of like multisyllabic words. So when I'd be speaking, I would say, you know, transformation, and then I'm like, oh, wow, that's not the Indian accent, you know? But I don't think anyone noticed. I think that my accent, you know, was so confusing and not Indian.
Yeah.
It was just weird voice. So people didn't really, I don't think anyone noticed. And then when I would laugh, I just had a Kumari laugh that was so much bigger than my own personal laugh, so it cloaked it. So I don't think I broke character, but I definitely pushed it, you know? And I sometimes think, oh, there's no way everyone's going along with this, but...
But they did. How long did you do this for?
Shot the movie over mostly 4 months.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you, hold on. So you were in character for 4 months in Arizona?
Well, I mean, when I got back, we basically, you know, set up in a house, and when we were outside the house, I was always in character. I tried not to be. I tried on the car rides to not be in character, but it was because I don't really have a background in acting, I just really had to get into the role as much as possible. This is my experiment in doing that, and that just meant just like trying to be as close to Kumari in my living situation and life as possible during that time.
Were any times you were close to getting busted?
Well, I told you about this sort of closeness to this Shiva lineage. I was in we were just passing through Sedona, and we were in a vortex. I don't know if anyone's been to these vortexes in Sedona, but basically they're supposed to be high-energy places.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're stopping to see it, you know. And when I got there, there was a guy who was having a retreat there who was one of the world authorities on Shaivism.
Oh.
So I said, man, if there's somebody who knows that this lineage that I've made up, the Kumari lineage, is BS, like, it's going to be him. So he came around. I didn't really want to meet him, and he came around, and I talked with him for a while, like sat down for like half an hour. And I thought, man, am I going to get busted right now? And I don't know. I think he may have just been like, either I haven't heard of this lineage, or this guy is totally legitimate, or he may have just been like, oh, he's just another fake guru or whatever.
Yeah, because that's... You start off the whole thing talking about how many fake gurus there really are. Like, you think of a guru as being this, oh, you know, totally legitimate, you know, holy man with integrity. And, you know, actually, we talked about that earlier in the show today, how, especially in the black community up here in Toronto, they trust their pastors too much in some cases. But lo and behold, these gurus there's a ton of fake guruism going on, man. Okay, so first of all, I'm absolutely stoked that you did this. This is something that I am sort of planning on doing, something similar, like I guess, to this in the future. I the only thing I can compare this to, Vikram, is for a week of Lent a few years ago, I went blind for the entire week. I had a friend, an optometrist friend, source out some contact lenses that took my vision away. And I went blind for the entire week, trying to do exactly the same routine that I would normally do, and speaking engagements and the radio show and riding my horse or whatever. And but to take on a whole new persona, character like this, and in the name of, I mean, and that's the thing I want to get to here, is what was this in the name of? Was this in the name of, look, was this in the name of humanism? Hey, folks. Y'all got it inside you to be what you need to be. Don't be leaning on any, you know, guru stuff or whatever, or hocus pocus or electric buffing machines, buddy. That was a classic scene where Buddy took the electric buffing machine to your body, I would have just giggled and wet my pants, but you were fine, it looked like. What was this in the name of?
You know, I don't know, why do people write books? Why do people make movies? You know, I think that there's just an urge that one has to tell a story and make a point. And to say that it was specifically to, you know, to push a philosophy or something, I think it goes back and forth. You know, when I was making the movie, I would talk about the ideas in a very philosophical way, and I would sometimes get a little bit, you know, shy about it. Like, well, okay, I'm just making a movie. Like, let's not take this so seriously. Let's not be like, I'm exposing the truth that the world needs to see. But there's a little of all of it in it, you know? I think that's why the movie is kind of made in a certain way that I don't want to preach something in it, but I just want people to watch the story and get whatever they get out of it. And I just felt like it had to be done. I don't know. Every time I had this idea, and then it just kept going. I would say, this is ridiculous. I can't do that. And then it just kept coming back, and I was like, this urge is so strong, like, there must be a reason. And I think I spent some time during making the movie understanding those reasons, you know?
You see, but you say in the movie that, you know, people can find the same peace from a made-up religion that they find in a real religion. And and so to me, that almost in a way discredits the peace from real religion. So when we're talking about the reality of truth, or as Pilate maybe would have said in the sacred scriptures, what is truth and the objectivity of truth, et cetera, subjectivity. This movie pulls the carpet out from underneath those that are in search of peace. And the way they're searching it is through, you know, the way they're trying to find it is in religion. And it's kind of like you're pulling the mat out from underneath them, which you may not like that description, but I mean, that's exactly what needs to happen. What was that movie where they got into people's dreams and then they were able to change reality in those people's dreams? I can't remember the name of that movie.
Inception.
Inception, that's right, yeah. And so it's like with the chair going back into the tub, and that's when they need to wake up. And you are helping these people wake up. But this comment that you know, people can find the same peace from a made-up religion that they find in a real one, then, I don't know, does that put into question the legitimacy of that peace? Or does it matter?
No, I think that there's a reason that religion exists. The mechanisms of religion is something that we can learn from. Like, I mean, you clearly just told me that you're not interested, you don't like religion, right?
No.
But you're obviously incredibly well educated about it. Atheists, for instance, are some of the most, I don't think you are, but atheists are, for instance, the most educated on religion that I know. There's something in the mechanisms of religion that explain why we do what we do, and there are reasons, things we can learn from religion. But I think that the difference is we look at religion as something that puts you in a category, makes you act in a certain way, and creates rules, as opposed to something to study. If you look at it as something to study, then you learn a lot about human nature, the reason we do things, and that's why I think the study of religion is, like, fascinating. That's why I studied in college, but not because I wanted to become, quote, more religious. So I don't necessarily think that a made-up religion, the whole point is that a made-up religion uses the same human urges and then creates its own set of rules according to those and gives person the freedom to create their own religion if they make up their own religion, whereas the old religions are just, you know, coming from the idea that somebody either not of this earth or a long time ago had great truths and that we should follow somebody who's been dead a long time. So I think I think the studying and the making up of religion is an act of creativity. And in a way, I think that is something that's redeeming about religion, is that we can learn about ourselves through it. Why do humans act in a certain way? You know, when you learn about, like, rituals. I think this whole movie that I made is, you know, you see the creation of rituals and how much rituals are important to people. And we hate the rituals that we're brought up with because they remind us of our parents and our home, and they have all of this weight to it. But the made-up religion is something that's purely creative, and it's all about the actual ritual and not the things that go along with it. So I don't think it's, that's what I think the importance of that kind of analysis of it is, like, that a made-up religion can, in fact, meet the same needs that a real religion does.
Wow. You know? Wow. Listen, I got to say to everybody, this is probably one of the best docs I've seen in a long, long time, but it's also so good. I think every church, every home group, every group that meet, like even a reading group or whatever, needs to get this DVD, watch it, and discuss it. There's so much to talk about after watching this. KumariMovie.com is where you want to go for more information. That's KumariMovie, KumariMovie.com. And Vikram Gandhi. By the way, am I pronouncing your name right, Vikram Gandhi?
Yeah, great.
Man, I was nervous about that. I fully expect to see you at the Oscars this year, talking to Ryan Seacrest, maybe accidentally dumping some ash on him.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
oh well, that's what Borat did. What's that guy's name again? Tim, the actor.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, Sacha, and he dressed up as the dictator and was talking to Ryan Seacrest, and he had an urn in his hand.
Kim Jong Il's.
Yes, there we go. I want you to do that next. Actually, what is
it? I want that too.
What's next for you? Because you're actually someone that I will be following your career. So what's next?
Well, hopefully something weirder and taking things a little further.
Beautiful.
And, I have another movie that I'm working on right now that's in a really early stage, and so
is it. Is it sort of incarnational again?
No, it's a totally different. It's a scripted movie, but hopefully have have as much weight as this last movie had for me,
Vikram Gandhi on the phone with us. Thank you for your time. Very much appreciate it. And KumariMovie.com is the website. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Jumpers, Coke, sweet
Mary Jane. Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.